First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. So what is this New Year challenge that I would like to address from the word of the Lord? As we start the new year 2012, I thought it is something that is very important for us to challenge ourselves. For me to challenge you, challenge myself also, what we ought to do and learn from God's word. And so that we start the year right, and then we can progress in the Lord. And so this new year challenge in 2012 that we're going to learn is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Can I ask that we all read together this verse? It's very familiar, and I believe that we can even memorize it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Alright, one more time together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you able to memorize it? I'm sure you can, right? Now, can we all read together but without looking at the Bible? Just look straight and let's try together. One, two, go. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, the New Year challenge for this year, a new year, is taken from this verse. Just one verse, and this afternoon I will just be preaching on this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Maybe some of you will be rejoicing in your heart. Say it's going to be a short message. Yeah, only one verse. Right, don't be so thankful yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 teaches us about being grateful and thankful. And I thought that this is something that we ought to learn and challenge ourselves as we start a new year. To start with a thankful and a grateful heart. We all have a problem. In our sinful, depraved nature, we have a problem that we often forget all the blessings and all the goodness that have been showered upon us. We are a forgetful people. Do you realize that? We are all forgetful people. If I ask you a very simple question, just to test you, what was our church theme for 2011? It's not displayed here. The new theme supposed to be displayed. I guess we have some problem putting up the banner. What was our church theme in 2011? For 52 weeks, if you are sitting here, you've been looking at this banner right in front of you, but now it's not there because this was our theme last year. What was our theme for 2011? You can just whisper to each other beside you. If you don't know, just stand up and then get yourself punished. The theme that you have been looking at for the past 1 year, right? And some of you whisper, I hope it's the right answer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Did you remember it? Where was it taken from? The book of Revelation. I'm sure you say that. I hope you don't say Genesis. The book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last chapter. And what was the verse? Verse 20. The Lord Jesus himself said, "Behold, I come quickly." That must be our response. And that was our theme. Our response to the Lord Jesus saying, "I come quickly," is what? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was our theme. But somehow, I do not think that many of us can recall, we struggle, and although we have seen it for the past 1 year, displayed before our eyes. If I ask you further, what was the theme in 2010? I guess it's all gone. And 2009, worse still. Do you realize that 1 year had passed, and actually, last year, in the first Sunday of the year, I also spoke in the pulpit, also with a New Year challenge in 2010. So this morning, I asked my daughter, "Do you remember what I spoke 1 year ago?" My daughter has good memory, and she told me what I spoke, which I nearly forgot myself. Anybody remember? Maybe you do not remember. We probably do not even remember what we heard last Sunday. What am I trying to say? We are all forgetful people. We do not remember many things. And so, because of this depraved, sinful nature of being forgetful, we all tend to be very unthankful because we forget all the gifts, all the blessings, all the goodness that God has showered upon us. The moment we get into problems, the moment we are discouraged, it's very easy for you and me to complain. It's very easy for us to say that God is not fair. The moment some brother or sister treat us, we think in an unfair manner, we will say very quickly that the church is no good. The church is not loving. We forget all the blessings and all the help we have received from the church also. And that is us. And we must understand ourselves. Because the more we understand ourselves, then we can learn and we can ask God to change us to improve in this area. And so the challenge really that I want to pose on you and on myself this year in 2012 is what the Word of God has taught us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I'm going to speak from this verse only, and I'm going to give you 4 points that you can learn from this one verse. I'm going to move backwards. My 4 points, I will move backwards. That means I'll start from the back of this verse to the front of this verse. And so what is the ending of this word? Look at your Bible, right? When we learn God's word, look at your Bible and you see the wonder of God's word, even in just one verse, to challenge us to be a thankful people before the Lord. And it says in the last part that this verse concerns who? Do you see the verse? This verse concerns who? This verse concerns you. Can you see the word you? Concerning you. Concerning you, concerning me, that as we read the word of God, the Bible is telling us that in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians, that it is going to be something that must be applied to you, right? Concerning you. So it's not talking about for only the pastors, for the leaders of the church, or for the older members, but it concerns you, concerns me. So this is something that all of us must remember when we study God's word here, particularly it says concerning you. So today you are the one sitting here, I'm the one standing here, and it concerns us, and you and I must apply it in our life. Don't ever come to church and say, oh, this is a good message, I wish my daughter, my son was here to listen. Oh, I wish this brother is here. Right? Because oftentimes when we listen to a message, we hope that it's applied to another person. But here the Bible says, no, it's not concerning your brother, your sister, or your child, but it's concerning you. So it's concerning you and I that we must pay attention and listen to. And who are the person, when you say concerns you, it talks about those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you see that carefully in verse 18? In Christ Jesus concerning you. And so today, this verse is for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those of us who have professed the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And so this verse is applicable for you and for me when we say we are in Christ Jesus. And this afternoon as we gather here, I believe that most all of us here will say that I'm a believer, I have the Lord Jesus as my Savior, He's in my heart. And so the Bible says this is the verse for you to learn. This is the verse for you to apply. This is the New Year challenge that God wants you and me to really put into practice. See? And so those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we are the one who really must pay attention and learn from God's word. And so this is what I want to share in the first point as we learn in this verse. That today, if you say that belong to the Lord Jesus, Jesus abides in me and I abide in Him, then this is for you. Being a thankful and a grateful person is for you. This afternoon, as we start the year, it's always good to examine our faith. Every year, we begin, we ask ourselves, am I truly a child of God? Do I truly have Jesus in my heart? We can be many years in church. We can know our Bible very well. But it does not mean that we have the Lord Jesus in our heart. This is a question that you and I must personally answer ourselves. I'm not here to be able to point your finger and say, oh, you have Jesus Christ, you do not have. It's impossible for me to see. It's impossible for each one of us even to see. It's even impossible as a parent to know whether my child is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know yourself, because the Bible said, your spirit testify with the spirit of God that you are a child of God. And so you know in your heart, are you sincere? Are you serious? Are you truly one that have the Lord Jesus in your heart, in your lives? And so this is something that we hope and desire, that in Tabernacle BB Church, everyone sitting here will truly believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of you here may not have Jesus Christ. You may have been in church many years. You may have heard about Jesus Christ. Maybe you say, let me think about it. Give me more time. But my friends, time may not be on your side. We thank God that we have passed 2011. That does not mean that in this new year, each one of us can say with confidence that I'm going to go through 365 days. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? Who knows what will happen when you and I cross the road? You can cross the most safest way by crossing the zebra crossing or whatever you can think of, but you never know. Another car, another drunken driver can come and knock you off. We never know if a disease can strike us that moment that we think we are all healthy and strong. And so today is the day of salvation. Today, if you are not sure, today is the day that you must say, Jesus, I want to abide in you and you must abide in me. And just like the verse says, we must be in Christ Jesus. We must pray that Jesus Christ lives in us. And I pray that when we all end our life or Jesus comes, that we all will meet each other in heaven. Today in hell, there are many so-called pastors, elders. And we must all take heed. We can be in position of leadership, but that does not mean that we are in Christ Jesus. And I pray that each one of us will be serious in this matter, because this is the most important matter concerns our life. You can have all your good results. You can have all the things in this world. But if you do not have your soul in Christ Jesus, what can it profit you? What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And so this is the first point. In Christ Jesus. Today, if we are all saying that I am in Christ Jesus, then I must be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I must have this change in my life. And this change is reflected that you and I will have a grateful, thankful heart to the Lord. When the Lord Jesus comes to us, there will be the change. And you and I will know that this change has taken place. And now from one that has no love for Jesus, now we love Him. From one that has no appreciation for all things that God has done in my life, now I begin to look and say how good and how gracious God is to me. And so when we see that there is this change of being a thankful person, we know with this evidence that Jesus Christ lives in me. And I think that it is made clear as we examine ourselves. If we have the Lord Jesus, we have a thankful heart. And if we have a thankful heart, we will desire to come to God's house to worship Him. And coming to God's house to worship Him, we desire to come early to prepare our hearts to worship Him. When we have the Lord Jesus, we have a thankful heart, we will love to read God's Word. I do not know why daily quiet time is a problem year in, year out for so many Christians. Have you asked yourself why? Aren't we grateful that the Lord has loved us and loved us so much to give us His Word that we can read and know His will? Don't you want to learn more about His Word? Don't you want to spend time in His Word? Why should it be a struggle that I cannot do my daily quiet time? Then next year we share the same problem again. Then following year we share the same problem. Is it a reflection that we do not have that gratefulness, the thankfulness of what God has given to us? And so may the Lord help us as we ask ourselves this question. Right, the first point, right, this is for those in Christ Jesus. It concerns you, concerns me. Right? Whether we have that salvation in Jesus, that grateful heart in Him. Now I want to move on to the second point. As I say, I want to move backwards, and you look at the verse, it says what? The will of God. Can you see the will of God in this verse? Right? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So now, the second point, the will of God. Oftentimes, we ask ourselves this question, what is God's will for my life? Some of you are working, you're thinking of a career switch, you ask yourself this question, what is God's will for my life? Should I change job or should I stay on? Some of you in school, you ask yourself, is it God's will for me to be in this class, to be in this CCA, to be in this school, and after I finish this level of school, what is God's will for me? Should I move on to this or that? Young people, you also ask God's will, right? Young man, you ask, is this God's will for my life to have this girl to be my life partner? And so we ask ourselves this question, God's will, God's will. And sometimes we get ourselves very perplexed, very confused. God's will, what is God's will? Should I do this, should I not do this? We want to thank God that God has not revealed our entire life before us. Can you imagine if God has shown you in 2012 what will happen to you for this whole year? Would you like it? I do not think so. Huh? Maybe when we see everything that will happen, we will not learn to trust God. And so this aspect of God's will is something that God has made it also a mystery to us. Something that God does not want us to know everything at one go. And so we will not know at one go right now what will happen to our church right by April 2012. Will we still be here? Will we still be in another place? We do not know. We do not know. Huh? Maybe you say, ah, you elder also don't know anything is happening. What is going to happen to our church? Yes, the answer is I do not know. What is God's will right now when April 2012 comes? But I know with confidence and faith in God that when it comes, then God will show us His will and God will lead us. And so it's in our life, it's the same, that many a times God will not show us really what is ahead now. But God will show us when the time comes and God's will be revealed. But what God has shown to us that right now, His will for us, as you seek Him in this direction, your career, your school, your relationship, our church, the premises where we should go, is that God has shown to us right now what we ought to do. The will of God right now that you and I ought to do is to give thanks to Him. Dearly beloved, do you understand that when you start it right, then God will direct us in His will. And so we must start it right that as we seek God's will, as we desire to know where is God's purpose for my life in this area and that area, we start it now and we start it today and we start it this year by giving thanks to God. And this is something that the Bible teaches us, that that's how we know God's will. That's how God's will is revealed. And that's how God's will has been shown to us, that you and I must learn to be thankful people. And this is the will of God. And when you begin to praise God that today you have a job, and you ask God, should I move on? And you thank God that you still have a job, you still have a good, stable salary. The Lord will show you. But if you keep complaining, my job, so hard, my boss, this thing no good, that thing no good, and then you say, should I change job? Then you are not doing the will of God. Because the will of God for you right now is to give thanks, no matter how difficult it is. And you start to give thanks and be thankful, then you know as the time comes, God will direct your path to where you should be. And so the will of God is always being shown to us in this manner very clearly. Give thanks. You go to your new school. Some of you are going to a secondary school on Tuesday. Right, a number of you here may be going to your secondary school on Tuesday. Don't say, ayo, this school, everybody says it's lousy, a gangster school, no good. You don't say that. You give thanks. This is God's will. In God's appointment, you are given and allocated this school. You give thanks to the Lord. And then you seek the Lord's will and you see why God has put you there, why the class is this class for you. And so, learning God's word It's that wonder of wonder. And then God's will has been revealed to us day by day. Now, let me go to the third point. What is the third point? In everything, give thanks. So my third point is, give thanks. I remember we start off with what? That this verse is for those, it concerns you and me because we are in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we talk about the will of God. It's God's will. Understanding God's will is to always give thanks. And now we come to the third point about giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. So my third point is give thanks. I enjoy the Wash Night Service Thanksgiving testimony time. Most of you were there yesterday. I believe you were all blessed and encouraged by all who came forward. Usually I don't go forward because you have heard enough of me talking. So I like others to share, right? To listen to others, what they have to say. And I was much encouraged, much blessed by all who came forward to give thanks. Giving thanks is very important. But I want to stress this, that giving thanks is not just on 31st December. One day out of 365 days, and the other 364 days, you murmur and complain, and you grumble, and then come to Wash Night Service, you stand up and say, oh, thank God for all this, but throughout the whole year, you've been murmuring and murmuring. That's not giving thanks. Right? Giving thanks ought to be 365 days, every day of the year. And so the Bible says, give thanks. And giving thanks is not easy. It does not come naturally. Remember, you and I are people who are forgetful and who like to murmur and who like to criticize and who like to complain, and that is natural from our mouth. When we look at someone, the first thing we look at is all their weaknesses, their bad points, and we like to talk about it. That is from the sinful, depraved heart of ours. And so when the Lord Jesus comes to us, He must change us. And He must change the words that come up from our mouth, that it will be one of thanksgiving, of praise of another person. And I thought this is something that we all must learn from. Can you turn to Colossians chapter 4? Can you turn to Colossians chapter 4? I just want to show you, when Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, the Colossian Christian, when he talks about the different people who serve with him, just learn, see how Paul talks about them. At Colossians chapter 4, in verse 7, first he talks about Tychicus, and he says he is what? A beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. Do you think that Tychicus has no fault? I do not think so. I'm sure Tychicus has not met up to Paul's high standard. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul is a very demanding person. He set high standard for the Lord. But here, when he talks about Tychicus, Paul says he is beloved. He is a faithful fellow servant. And then you go on and look at verse 9. He talks about another person called Onesimus. What does it address him? He says he is a what? Faithful, beloved brother also. One of you. And then you move on in verse 10. Epitarchus, he says he is my fellow prisoner. Right? In the prison together. Then he talks about him, receive him. You see. And then in verse 11, he talks about another person called Justus. And he says he is my fellow workers. He has been a comfort to me. And then in verse 12, he talks about another person called Epaphras. And he called him a servant of Christ. And then in verse 14, he talks about Luke. And he says he is a beloved physician. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is to learn from Paul, be thankful. Today, just look at each other. We have our Tychicus here, we have our Onesimus here, we have our Luke here. How do you call them? How do you talk about them? Do you talk about them with that gratefulness, that thankfulness? He is my beloved brother. He is faithful in the Lord. Thank God for him. He brought the drinks for our church. He organized this. Or when we talk about someone in our church, we only criticize. We are never thankful for the person, the brother, the sister. And we learn from Paul how we can be thankful when we talk about each other. We give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks. Right. The will of God in our life is to give thanks. When we look at each other, give thanks. And I want to thank God for each one of you here. We are a small church. We do not have pastors in our church. Each one of us has to put a lot of effort and labor in serving the Lord here. And each one of you has done something very commendable. And so wonderful. When I look at you, I can give thanks to the Lord. And I thank the Lord for you. The choir worked very hard. How do I know? Because my children are in the choir. They come early to practice. I salute their faithfulness, commitment. Every time we got food for our dinner, we thank the Lord for those who go forward to get the food for us, who wash up all the kitchen, get everything ready. Thank the Lord that when we have buffet for our church, we have sisters who get all the food ready for us. So many of you, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Why are we always saying that, ayo, this person, no good, that person, no good, this person, always cause trouble. Let's put away criticism. If ever we be harsh, let's be harsh to ourselves, but be gentle to others. When we look at others, give thanks to the Lord. That's how the apostles teach us. Give thanks. And I want to address this, that let's learn also to give thanks for our church. I think there will be changes in our church this year if we have to move premises. And when we move, there will be a lot of adjustments for you and for us. Every one of us will have to adjust our schedule, our timing, whatever, if we have to move. Even if we do not move, we have to adjust because we have to start our service at 4 o'clock. And so each one of us can come to our church and murmur and complain. Ay, tabernacle, terrible. Always change. Don't know what they are doing. Or we can give thanks to the Lord that we have this church together. When we have to make adjustments, changes, let's give thanks to the Lord. If one day a new pastor were to come in, God willing, there will be adjustment, there will be changes. Right? A new pastor will not be Uncle John. Uncle John is only one Uncle John, right? I have my own way. But the new pastor will come with his own ways. And we must respect and submit to him. And so there will be changes. But let's give thanks. Let's not be critical. Let's not be judgmental. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. That's a Bible teaching for us. Give thanks. How about your service for the Lord in church? Do you complain? Why am I the only one serving? Why am I the only one doing all this? Sometimes it's very easy to complain. Eh? But we must give thanks for whatever the Lord has given us in our service for Him. If you do more, don't complain. Give thanks to the Lord. If you do less, give thanks. This is what God has given for you. This is all you can do. Give thanks to the Lord. This week I had to preach 4 times, including today. Sometimes I ask myself, it's very tiring. I preached twice at Calvary Turnout YF Camp, yesterday at Ebenezer, today in church. So I'm not a full-time worker. I have my own job to do. But why am I doing all this? Then I ask and tell myself, I have to give thanks to the Lord. God has given me this gift to preach, and I give thanks to the Lord. God has given me the opportunity to share God's word to God's people. I must give thanks. I must not complain that it's tiring and why me and not others. And so for you, as you sit there, I'm sure there is an area of service that you are serving in. Give thanks to the Lord for what you can do for the Lord. Give thanks for the Lord for our church. Give thanks for your area of service. Now I also want to say to especially our young people, give thanks for your family. Young people, I was young once, still a bit young. But we used to like to complain about our parents. Very naggy parents that we have. Always want to control me. Always telling me to do simple tasks that I know what I am. A dearly beloved, all our children sitting there, give thanks to your family. Give thanks for your parents who have loved you, who have cared for you. You are sitting here. I'm sure you have seen some babies in our midst. It took many, many years of tears, of pain, of hard work for our parents to bring you where you are sitting right now. Give thanks to them. Be appreciative of their love, their care for you. I used to be very unhappy at home with my parents because they tend to quarrel very often. It affected me a lot. I do not like to stay at home. I tell myself, I wish I would get out of the home as soon as I can. But as years go by, I learn to love my parents more and more. I can say I love them more now than before. And I thank God that today I can spend every Sunday morning with my mother in church. It's so wonderful to worship the Lord with my mother. And I want to give thanks to the Lord. And I hope that young people, you start today. Don't shout at your parents. Your parents are not perfect people. Your parents make a lot of mistakes. And I think I do make a lot of mistakes, even as a parent. And we are not perfect, and we fail you also in many ways. But we all love you, right? Every parent loves their child. So give thanks. Be appreciative. Give them a hug if you can. Don't shout at them. Right, if they are a bit naggy, thank God they're naggy instead of thank right and complain. It's better for them to be naggy than to abandon you. Give thanks. So young people, give thanks for school. School is starting. All of you that are in Ebenezer, nobody likes to go back to school on Tuesday. Right? Now give thanks that you have a school to go to. You used to go to various third world country mission. Actually, many of the children there, they go to school, but the school do not take care of them. In Vietnam, I know that after a while, the school just go there, and then by secondary school, they will not take care of them, and the children will just drop out, and the education is not really an education. And so many actually suffer. Give thanks that you are in Singapore, you have a good school. Don't talk about, oh, my teacher, no good, I don't like this subject, I hate it, I don't want to study. Give thanks to the Lord. When you give thanks, your attitude will change. And you begin to appreciate your teachers, your subject. See, dearly beloved, we can give thanks in our church for our brothers and sisters. See, we can give thanks for our family. We can give thanks for our school. And those of us who are working, give thanks for your work. See, I know that some of us have very difficult bosses. Very difficult, hard bosses. But still, you can give thanks to the Lord. That you have a job, you have a career, and that's what the Bible says, give thanks. Now all this, I want to say that we can only give thanks, listen here, we can only give thanks when we know first of all how to give thanks to God. When you and I can give thanks to God, then we can give thanks to each other and give thanks for whatever we have in our family, in our job. And so begin with that appreciation and the gratitude for God in our lives. What God has done for us. And the greatest gift that God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas has just passed, not too long. What was the greatest thing they have done in Christmas? Oh, I received this big Christmas present. Oh, enjoy all the nice Christmas food. I want to give thanks that in this Christmas, I was very happy that I visited two members in our church who have not been coming to us regularly. And that's all I remember about this Christmas, that I spent some time with them, talked to them, encouraged them in the Lord. It took a bit of effort, but it was very meaningful. And I want to give thanks that Christmas is spent in a meaningful way this, by spending time to encourage, to help others. Give thanks to the Lord. Now I come to my last point, which is the start of the verse. What does it say? In everything, give thanks. Right? It's in everything. Right? That is my fourth point. In everything, give thanks. Let me ask you a question. Which is easier to give thanks? In times of prosperity or in times of adversity? Do you give thanks when you are blessed and you have your gifts and your shower, you got your promotion, you got your bonus? Do you give thanks? Your health is now restored. You did well. Do you give thanks when your children do well in their result or you do well in your study? Sometimes I ask myself this question. Is it easier to give thanks in prosperity or is it easier to give thanks in adversity when my health failed, when I didn't get my promotion, when I lose my job, or when relationships sour? Can I also give thanks? Which is easier? The answer is, none is easy. Both are equally hard to give thanks. Whether you're in prosperity, you get a blessing, or you're in adversity, and you get all the problems, both are hard to give thanks. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. So the verse tells us now, we must give thanks in something, in most of the things. No, the Bible says, in everything. Everything means everything, right? So every circumstances, everything that happened in our life, you and I can give thanks and must give thanks to God. And this is what we learn from this verse. In everything, give thanks. I read about this story about an old lady, 64 years old, in bed. And she could not move. For 16 years, she lay on the bed. Could not move because of a disease and rheumatism. Her whole body was curled up, just lying on the bed. And the only thing that she can move is her one thumb. That's all. That's the only thing that she can move. And when you talk to this lady, it was recorded in the testimony that she still can give thanks to God because of her one thumb that can move. That's all. For 16 years, dearly beloved. Why? Because from that one thumb that can move, they attach a stick with a fox, and then she can use that to take out her glasses and put on the glasses, and then she can feed herself a little. And most of all, with that little thumb that can move, she can use that with a stick to flip the Bible and so that she can read God's word. I think you can imagine, huh? You can still flip the Bible and you can still read God's word with that one little time, and she gave thanks to the Lord. And she said these words, "I am content to lie here so long as it shall please God and to go home with God whenever He calls me." Can you and I give thanks today when we are lying on the bed for 16 years and not able to move except for one tiny little thumb? If today we are jumping about, running about, and we cannot give thanks, how can we be sure, or what gives us the confidence that we can say we can give thanks when we cannot even move ourselves on the bed? And so we have to start to give thanks now. In everything, give thanks. One day, if our health fails, we must learn to give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks. Not just in good health. How do you know that it will not happen to me or to you? If it happens that we fail and we have to lie on the bed, we have to give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks. We thank God that in our church, God has preserved our lives for a long, long time. We have not, some people say, touch wood. There's no such thing as touch wood for a Christian. We have not seen any one of us going back to heaven. But if year pass, another year pass, we are all going to be aging. And there will be a time that some of us will say goodbye first, and to be in heaven first, to be with the Lord forever. Can we all give thanks? In everything, give thanks. And so this is something that we have to learn. In everything, give thanks. The Lord help us as we learn this verse. Shall we read together? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. If you can memorize, please memorize it, because this is 2012 challenge. And for us to keep in memory, not just in memory, but in practice. Let's read together. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm going to end by asking you to turn to your hymnal first. I'm going to tell you the story behind this hymn as I end this message. Hymn number 27. Hymn number 27 is a hymn entitled, Now Thank We All Our God. I'm going to tell you a little of the background to this hymn, then we sing this, and you understand why you sing it. And you understand the story behind it. Now, if you look at hymn number 27, the hymn writer, his name is written at the top left-hand corner, and he's called Martin Rinkert, born in the year 1586, and was taken home to glory in 1649. Martin Rinkert was a German pastor and poet. He was born in the year 1586, in a very poor family. Parents barely have enough to make a living. But this man, Martin Rinkert, he loved books and music. And his parents hoped that one day he would grow up to be a scholar or perhaps a minister, a church pastor. In those days, they loved their children to be church pastor. It's very honorable and respectable. But not today. Eh? Today, church pastor, you have no other job than just do it. Eh? I hope not. Eh? But that was his past, the parents' wish. And Martin Rinkert, because they really had no money to help him in his further education. But in 1601, Martin Rinkert, he got a scholarship and he studied in St. Thomas' School of Theology and the university, and even studied Greek and Latin, did well in his music, and very soon he became a pastor, a minister of the gospel, and also a choir director of the church. And some years after serving in a little church in Germany, later on, he became the archdeacon of a bigger church in the parish in this town called Eilenburg. Right, that's his native town. So this Martin Rinkert, he left his hometown as a poor scholar, but now he came back as an important minister of the gospel, and he served there faithfully in the church in his hometown. But soon after that, in Germany, in that time, there was a war that broke out. It's called the 30 Years War. The war lasted for 30 years. And the whole of Germany was ravaged by this war. And all around, in his hometown, Eilenburg, it was really a big disaster. It was a war city, and many refugees came in. And many refugees came in, they caused trouble in the cities, and people flocked into that. And after that, the soldiers came inside the town and ravaged the whole place. So there were basically destruction and there were no food. And after that, a plague broke out. Disease broke out. Many people died. And during the war, two of his fellow pastors died. And Martin Rinkert, he himself has to stay on, persevere on in a very difficult condition to take care of his flock. He goes all day from bed to bed, from nursing the sick, cheering and praying with the dying. And altogether, in his ministry, he buried about 5,000 people. And sometimes in each funeral service, there were about 40 to 50 dead bodies. And after the disease completed, there was famine in the whole city. Shops were empty, there were no food, and people actually queued up at his parsonage, queued up for food, asking and begging him for food. And he as a pastor actually gave up everything he has, all his resources, and to feed the people. And at the time, his own wife also died. Not only his two fellow pastors died, his wife also died. And he continued to give all his expenses, all that he had, to feed the poor. And this was the courage of Martin Rinkert, to keep the people even from despair. Although his name is not well known among us, not many people or many of us really know him, but perhaps he may be one of the bravest men in history. And so despite
the very little time that he has, but whatever time that left he has, he spent the time writing hymns, you see, whatever breathing space he had. And so he wrote hymns and poems to encourage his flock, his congregation, to trust in God. And this hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," was written about a year before the war ended. And so you can imagine that it was written when he experienced 30 years of pain, of suffering, of caring for the people, of bearing so many people. And when you sing this hymn afterwards, I want you to notice that there was no complaint about trials. There was no complaint about difficulties. There was no murmuring, "Why, God, am I put in this situation?" And remember, when he wrote this hymn, he did not know that 1 year later, the war would end. And after the 30 years war ended, 1 year later, he died. So he did not live long to enjoy the peace after that. And so this is the story of "Now Thank We All Our God," written by Martin Rinkert. Of course, in German, translated for us in English, well-loved, sung in all occasion of thanksgiving. But knowing the background of this hymn, you understand now that it is a very beautiful hymn written in the most difficult, trying condition in life. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.